Well, hello and welcome to the very first ever Brian Hughes podcast. We're really excited about this opportunity to share a whole lot of things with you, to go on a journey with you, to really hear a lot of what makes Brian tick, how God has used him throughout his life, not just here at PCC, of course, but in all the different stages of his life, but also get to a lot of things that, you know, we may just not have time for on a Sunday. And Brian, you're going to talk about that in just a minute, but I kind of wanted to start, we'll just hop right in.
Okay.
And I kind of wanted to start just asking a little bit about you, you know, talking about we don't have a ton of time on Sundays. We hear a ton of your stories. You know, a lot of us who get to be here feel like that we know you pretty well, but as always, there are probably plenty of things that we don't. So why don't you just talk a little bit about, like, who's Brian Hughes? How did you get here? How did you get into this? Just tell us a little bit about you. If we're going to listen to a podcast named the Brian Hughes Podcast,
okay,
that's we fair. All know a little bit more about Brian Hughes, I feel like.
Well, I think there are two kinds of people that might tune into something like this. One, the first kind is somebody who's part of our church. That's probably, you know, there's probably a good number of people who at least check this out from our church. And that kind of person has heard a lot about me. And I think one of the things that is core to who I am is authenticity. It's not just a thing that we have on our core values list. It's not just something that we talk about. It's not just a slogan that sounds nice. It's actually really deeply embedded in who I am.
Yeah.
So on a Sunday, you know, in the times when I'm doing a message or some kind of talk, I'm really sharing who I am. So people feel like they know me, and I think that is not inaccurate. Other communicators, I think, some other forums, and this is not right or wrong, but some of them are less vulnerable or, you know, who they are. But I'm, you know, so I think there's that kind of person. They kind of know me a little bit, but there's, you know, how much can you tell,
right,
when you're really trying to teach the Bible that the message is really not about you in the first place? Any illustration you use about you is just an illustration to make a greater point. So one, there's, you know, you only get, and the other thing is that I'm only talking, you know, I'm on the platform for 29 or 30 times or 31 times in a year. So, you know, it's barely over half. There's just not enough time there. But then there's another kind of person. The other kind of person is somebody who really doesn't know anything about our church, or maybe they've come once or twice or whatever. Or maybe they haven't come at all. Somebody has said, you know, hey, we found this podcast that might be meaningful to you, because what we're going to talk about is real life subjects and meet people where they are, which is what we try to do,
right,
you know, at church too. Just take it from a biblical standpoint, and which is kind of core to who I am too. So. I think that, you know, when I think about the roles that I wear in my life, as I rank, you know, who am I? If somebody were to ask that question, it's the question that you're asking. Core to who I am is a follower of Jesus. That defines and permeates everything about me, or at least that's the attempt. That's the goal. I also think, if I could just make a little aside, I think that people that say that the following Jesus defines every component of my life, well, part of what makes me a fallible human being is that following Jesus does not actually define every component of my life.
Yeah.
But that is always the goal. And I think largely I'm able to achieve that. I think, you know, when we talk about falling short, or, you know, I had some sin somewhere in my life, those are the areas that are sort of the dark spots that you don't, you know, follow Jesus. That's core to who I am. The second thing that's core to who I am is a husband to Susan. My marriage has defined my life in the most profound way. We've been married for 35 years. That journey has been almost entirely amazing. Some of it has been really hard.
Sure.
Most of the hard part was my making. But I think that is a very key part of who I am. And our longevity in marriage, I think we've got some things to say about how do you get there that are not just unique to Brian and Susan, but have application in other places. You know, when you're married for 5 years, it's nice and all, but, you know, who are you to tell me how to, you know, what is that?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, I've heard that before.
But the longer you're married, cause you've been married for 10 years.
Yeah. 11. Right? I'll 11. Be 12 okay. in this September. Okay. I mean, September, so, 2025.
And, you know, you get a decade behind you. You're already, you know, head of the pack. So, but at 35 years, I think I've got some things to say. My marriage is hard to overstate how important my marriage is to me. And then I'm a dad to three kids and a papa to six grandkids.
Wow.
And that has been the raising the kids thing has been amazing, but the papa to the other kids thing, that's even more amazing.
Yeah.
That is the absolute best thing.
Also something my parents like to tell me.
I'm telling you.
That raising me was okay, but but raising my grandchildren, a lot better.
I didn't know it at the time, but I think I would say to my three kids, you know, you were a means to an end. I mean, you
understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, I love you kind of, but your kids, man. And then there are others. So those are, I think, the three relationships: my relationship with Jesus, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids and grandkids, and of course there's an extended family there too. My dad's still around, and he's amazing, and I love spending time with my dad. And there are others. And then there's this relationship with the church. Mm. So I've been a pastor now for 25 years, 23 of them here at our church as of this September. And so that kind of longevity, gosh, it really makes me sound old, doesn't it? But when you start having that kind of longevity behind you, you realize that you've learned some things along the way. Some things have been accomplished, and you can feel like you got to be a part of it. This is always a dance we do, isn't it, Elijah? Because you don't want to take credit for it, but we Christians, we like to put all kinds of spiritual language, and say, God gets the credit for all the good things. And I actually believe that. And yet, it's not egotistical or robbing something of God to say, hey, I got to be a part of this. I had some leadership that God gave to me that allowed me to do that. And we can give God ultimate credit, but still say, I know something about church growth and church leadership.
And there's something to be said for sure about just you said longevity. And, it's not a secret that a lot of people come into ministry and then really doesn't take long in the grand scheme of things, unfortunately, for a lot of them to burn out.
That's right.
And so of course, we're going to, in a few episodes after this, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of people that God used to do some great things.
That's right.
And just like them, like you said, you wouldn't take credit, but it's not nothing to mention that you've been around for a while.
That's right.
And that, you're still firing. You're still going. You're not.
Yeah.
So that's, no, you definitely should say that. It brings some credibility to what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about some guys, some people, they do church leadership, whatever, and they burn out. And, then there's the alternative, which is to blow up.
Right.
And that's even worse. That's,
yeah.
And there's just so much of both of those things. So when you've got somebody, and again, I'm really delicate about, I'm really sensitive about this whole, ego and arrogance thing. I'm really not trying to say, but you've got somebody like me, and I'm not the only one like me, who planted a church, stayed with it, lived a life of integrity. I don't have some massive moral failure. I'm still here. That builds a long trust and a long credibility. And I think that's it's just so important. And it's easy to lose sight of, when you're just killing yourself in ministry. So there's the relationship with the church. I've got some really good friends I poured into that are really important to me. I often say, you don't have time for they're friends and they're friends, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, people look at the count on social media and say, I have 5,000 friends or some dumb thing like that. It's just not possible.
Of course.
But then there's this close circle of friends that you feel like we've really done life together. Mm-hmm. We trust each other. We can call each other out. We
know
everything about you. Yeah. And it's just so beautiful. It's just so sweet. And then there are things I'm really passionate about that I just love. I really am passionate about communicating and helping other people learn to be good communicators, writing well, leadership. And of course, I'm really passionate about helping people not only discover who Jesus is, but then learn to live more fully into who he is. There are other things that I've dabbled in with my life. We raised chickens several times, and I've been talking about getting some chickens. I'm like, man, you don't have time. You just don't have time to go raise more chickens. I think secretly I would have liked to have been a farmer,
right?
But that would have probably been not my calling.
I definitely think you have found your calling. You've lived into it. I think that's, I think it's worth mentioning a couple things here to anybody who's listening. The first being that a lot of what, Brian, you were just talking about is sort of going to be the subject matter
that's right.
this podcast. I'll ask you a little bit and sort of talking about your philosophy that you're using with the whole seven things thing that we've talked a little bit about before recording. But it's also worth mentioning that in the early stages of this podcast, at least for what we know right now, who knows where it's going to end up? Mm-hmm. God might take it a different direction or, you know, something like that. But at least in the early stages, we're going to be very connected to a lot of things that are going on at PCC.
Yes.
And things that are maybe happening on a Sunday or whatever. But the main point of the podcast isn't necessarily to be connected.
That's right.
Like that. We're not, you know, if you're coming for post-Sunday analysis of the message, you know, we have a lot of other great options for that, but that's not what this is.
Right.
This is more about, again, Brian's experience, your expertise, your things that God has taught you along the way that you feel very passionate about that you just want to share. And so there's only sort of these seven categories that you've mentioned or that you're going to mention here in a second. But within them, I mean, you know, we could go for forever, really. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Help the listener understand maybe a little bit about.
Well, I think there, it all depends on how you pare the categories down, how do you divvy them up. But how I got here was I'm a big fan of John Maxwell. So I think John Maxwell is not just a leadership and communication guru. He's a guy who really a lot of the things that I look up to in a leader is somebody that John Maxwell represents: longevity, integrity, and somebody who has built a lot of credibility with subject matter that makes sense. Speaking of which, in a book I read recently, 16 Laws of Communicating or something like that, he talked about when I get invited to speak at an event, there are five areas that there are five areas that he feels like he has expertise and credibility in. And if they ask him to come do a talk about something that's not in those five areas, he declines. And it was the first time I had thought, well, wow, we probably all have those.
Right.
And so what are mine? And I just started developing a list and you know, the number might be seven or it might be six or eight, depending on how you divvy it up. But I thought, what are my categories? And so I'll just kind of run down the list of them. Yeah. For me, I am a really big fan and proponent of, if you're going to communicate, if you're going to speak in front of a group of people, you should do it well. And I have a bit of a bit of an aberration against people who stand up and speak in front of a group and waste their time because they just don't prepare.
Right.
And somehow the worst thing about it to me is somehow they convince themselves that they're honoring God by doing it this way because we quote unquote are living by the Spirit.
Right.
Like, are you kidding me? Really, we're blaming our laziness on God.
Mm.
Because what really you didn't want to do is spend all the time that's necessary to prepare. Because frankly, standing up and talking in front of a group, that's the easy part.
Right.
The hard part is all the preparation that makes it worth somebody's time to listen to you.
Right.
So, you know, people used to say to me, you know, Sundays they would say, gosh, isn't it hard preaching three sermons, preaching, you know, doing the thing three times in a row because we have three services. I'm like, no, the hard part was the 20 hours it took to get here.
Right.
I can do 10 times now.
You know, it's just as a really quick aside, since we're just having some conversation here, this will feel totally off the cuff or like, you know, off on a tangent just for a second. But right now when we're recording this, the show, The Chosen's, it's like a big deal.
Yep.
It's really a big deal. Shout out. Chosen people, if you're listening, we're here. Anyway, they've gone through this part where Jesus performs a sermon on the mount. And there are like a couple episodes where they have Jesus rehearsing the sermon.
Holy cow.
Like in private,
which
of course is not in the Bible.
Yeah, we don't know for sure.
We don't know if he did that for sure, but it just speaks to that. Like, you know. It was just kind of a cool thing to see. But to your point, when you're going to speak something that you are saying comes from God,
right?
Like, you better do it well.
Right.
Yeah. So
I'm an advocate for that and an advocate for teaching how to do it well. I think that's one of the things that I do well, and I help others to do that. So there's communicating and preaching kind of goes along. Not all communication is preaching, but all preaching is communication. And then, marriage is another subject that I think that I have some chops to talk about, not only from personal experience, but from lots of learning.
Right.
I've studied marriage for a long time, read every book I can get my hands on. And I think that I think there's a lot to say about that. When we do series about family at PCC, I always get a little bit of pushback on the day we do about marriage, because inevitably we will have people say to me, well, what about all the single people?
Right.
They're like, man, I'm not trying to leave single people out, but marriage is like a cornerstone. It's like a cornerstone in the Bible. It's a cornerstone of our relationships. It's a cornerstone of our society. We need to be able to talk about it. And yet, if on a good year, I might talk about it two or three times. There's so much to say about it. I want to talk about it here on this podcast. I also spent a year studying Bowen Family Systems Theory, which sounds super boring. And if you read the wrong book, it really is super boring. But I've studied it a lot, and really it is the cornerstone of how to have healthy families. In fact, I wrote a book about this that I'm hoping is going to come out this year called Crazy Family, because everybody has one, How to Be Healthy When the Family Around You Is Not. There is a way for you to function well and be a healthy person, even if the family around you is a disaster. And I know how to do that, not in theory, but from personal experience, because right. my family of origin was a disaster. And so I studied it. I implemented it. There's some time I would like to spend talking about it. I think I can help people. I have helped a lot of people with that.
Definitely.
And part of that is healthy relationships. So it's not just about family, but also how to have right. healthy relationships, people around you. And then, of course, there's spiritual health, which I want to spend some time talking about, which includes both disciplines and how are we growing in our faith? And also, the cornerstone of that is the Bible. How do we read the Bible? Connect with God through the Bible? How do we interpret the Bible? I have some expertise relative to money management and finances, and I have a background in that academically. My undergraduate degree is in finance, which is nice to say. It probably doesn't mean a whole lot, except I am good with numbers, and I've spent a lot of time studying personal financial management. I have there's the tale of two Brians when it comes to finances. There's the Brian who did this really badly, and then there's the Brian who figured it out and did it well.
Right.
And we talk about that. Then there's time management, which I really love to study and to talk about. I don't always live this well, because me, like everyone else, gets pulled in a lot of directions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I am good at managing that. And sometimes I say yes to too many things and
right.
get in a twist. And then you can't just stop. You know, once the merry-go-round is turning, you kind of have to let the ride run its course.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a couple others is parenting and grandparenting. I raised three kids. They're all adults now. I have good relationships with all my kids. And seasons of parenting means that you relate to your kids very, very differently. My kids are adults now.
Right.
I see lots of parents of adult kids who still want to parent their kids like they're not adult kids.
Yeah.
And it's all kinds of family turmoil because of that. I think I can help speak into that well. And then, of course, I lived through all the chaos of raising kids. I'm not sure I always did that well, but Susan and I held it together, and there are times when I want to talk about that. Just a couple more. One of them is leadership. Our church didn't get to where it is without great leadership, and we have studied leadership. There are times when I have exerted poor leadership and times when I have done courageous, bold leadership well. And then the last thing I think, at least that's currently on my list, is church growth. So leadership is a part of church growth, right. but is not the only component.
Yeah.
How do you grow a church? And what are some ways that you do that well? And what are some of the things that are counterproductive to church growth and that kind of thing? So these are like the categories, and some of them you could put together. You could put family systems. You could put marriage under that and all that stuff. But I'm going to kind of break that out because I do think those are different. But these are the things that I would like to spend a good bit of time talking about that. And occasionally we might talk about raising chickens.
Yeah, that'll be great. I don't have any experience doing that.
Okay.
So maybe I'm not the right guy for
that. Well, it's awesome,
but I know plenty of people who have. Yeah. Being from this area, there are chickens all over the place.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to avoid them just driving all the time. So, that sounds great. So what we're going to try and do is really pull from one or more of these subjects anytime we're having a conversation, anytime we're making an episode, just so you can kind of know what's coming. But at the same time, we might spend some time on marriage, then we might move on to spiritual health. It's really just going to be a little bit of where God takes us, but also, of course, with a lot of the growth that you've experienced through just doing all these things. You mentioned several times, as you listed them, I didn't do this very well at the beginning, but I feel like I've learned a lot. And the only thing I could think of was like, yeah, I think that's just life.
Yeah, it is life.
I think that's just life.
It's growing. It's growth.
And yeah. And I think we could probably say that about every one of those things for all of us, mm-hmm. you know, and we're just all in a different place on the journey. So yeah, being able to hear about those things from you will be awesome. You can catch us really wherever you listen to podcasts. Wherever you are now listening to this, of course, is a good option. But any of the others, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you go to listen to podcasts, we'll be there. And yeah, I think you'll have a great time. So I think we'll sign this one off
okay.
for now.
Yep.
And then we'll be back next time with sort of our first dive into one of these topics. So that'll be great. Thank you so much for spending the time with us, for being here, and we'll catch you soon. We'll be right back.